This is Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
Ask Shelley. Ask Shelley. This is the part of the show where you email questions to Shelley that you would never ask her to her face. All right, so let's ask Shelley.
Send your questions to Shelley at FM99.com. Topics of conversation. Like this one, dear Shelley. I want to keep my beer on the back porch. See, these are the important questions.
I got you.
Yes. I don't want to ruin my beer. How cold must it be before the cap? What's it say? Before the cap or top offs off the container? I don't know what that means.
Yeah, it's definitely a typo there.
Oh, I'm guessing before the cap or tab pops off the container.
There you go.
I get it. There we go. There.
Well, Sound Brewery has a whole page dedicated to frozen beer, whether it's on purpose or accidental, including the answer to this question, at what temperature does beer freeze? Well, it depends on how much alcohol is in it, but most will start to freeze at around 28 degrees. So stay conscious if you plan on freezing your beer in the freezer or outside in the snow, because it could turn into a fiasco in just a couple of hours, they write. The water part would expand and then cause them to explode. They add that the exact freezing point of alcoholic beverages depend on its proof. The lower the proof, the warmer the freezing point, because, you know, the more water. Beer that is 5% alcohol by volume freezes at 27 to 28 degrees Fahrenheit in just a couple of hours, so I wouldn't leave it on the back porch too long.
Okay, because I wondered if, because he writes, how cold must it be kept? Or how cold must it be? All right.
28 degrees.
Oh, man.
This is when
I'm reading this the entirely different way. Like how cold do I have to keep it so it doesn't go bad?
Oh, yeah.
But I see what you're saying. Before the, yeah, before the cap or the tops. Tap top pops off the container. Wow. By the way, thanks for the question. And I appreciate the tongue twister. Dear Shelley, when I watch my local weather report, I notice sometimes the weather guessers, right to the heart, use the phrases partly sunny and partly cloudy. Is there a difference between them? If they are the same, what makes them use one over the other? If one person is feeling positive that day, they just use partly sunny, or if they're depressed, they say partly cloudy. Very respectfully, Cassie. Thanks, Cassie.
Well, this is the age-old Ask Shelley question, because you know I'm a weather geek. And a few years back when I got this question, I don't know, probably 2010 or even before that, I emailed some of our local weather guys, and Jeremy Wheeler from Tenninger Side, who was also a big Halo fan at the time, a gamer.
Really? Wrote back. All right.
Yeah. He said, virtually, there is no difference. Officially, from the National Weather Service, the only difference is that you can't use partly sunny at night. And Patrick Rocky from News 3 confirmed that statement, although him and I didn't have a big video game discussion in our email chain.
No.
Like I did with Wheeler. Wheeler also gave me the National Weather Service definition. Partly cloudy is between 3/8 and 5/8 of the sky covered by clouds. Partly sunny is 3/8 and 5/8 of the sky covered by
sun.
Right. So, it's kind of. He went into the definitions of mostly clear, mostly cloudy, mostly sunny. It all breaks down to fractions. So he said, sometimes we, TV meteorologists, use other terms like a mix of sun and clouds or increasing and decreasing clouds when the sky conditions change quite a bit during the day.
That makes more sense.
The only real distinction is you can't say partly sunny during the nighttime because there's no sun out.
All right, here we go. Finally, this, dear Shelley. My wife and I are taking a trip to Roanoke this weekend so our daughter can spend some time with her cousins. That got me to thinking, where did the terms aunt and uncle or aunt and uncle come from? Just wondering. Have a great week. Love the morning show. Signed, Jason.
Well, the Today I Found Out website says,
yes?
The modern English word for a parent's sister, an aunt, is a direct descendant of the modern French word that meant the same thing, tante. Both derived from the Latin word that means parental aunt, and one is associated with the Greek word for mother, which is also found in Old Norse, but it meant grandmother, and a variant was present in Middle Irish, but it meant old hag.
So we're somewhere between grandmother and old hag? Is this beloved family member?
It's been around since the late 13th century. The first recording of aunt is found in Robert of Gloucester's Chronicle in the year 1297.
So were you taught to say aunt or aunt?
I do say aunt. I do say aunt,
so you pronounce the U, basically.
Yeah, I do.
My kids, my I think both of my kids do. And they went to school around here.
Right.
But where I came from, it was just aunt. Like, aunts at a picnic. Yeah.
Neither of them bother me.
Now, do you say uncle or uncle?
Well, as for uncle, it's derived from a French word of the same meaning, uncle, with a O.
Uncle.
Which, really? Side note, they do point out, interestingly, bro is older than you thought. Saying bro first popped up in the 17th century.
Really?
Yeah. Where they would say bro instead of brother.
Bro.
Oh my gosh.
Sup, bro.
I say bro.
Ye bro.
I say bra.
I say ye bra.
Bra.
Bra. Bra.
Bros, we sign this Declaration of Independence.
For you bras.
The old French word for uncle was itself a version of the Latin word, which meant mother's brother or little grandfather. It first appeared in print in the year 1290. So it's just, you know, passed down language. You needed something to call these people. So.
Yeah. Other than, you know, the stranger or the people that live next door. Some sort of familial title.
I say bruh. Time.
Yes.
Go see my aunt.
Bruh.
My aunt, bruh. Bruh. Hey, if you have a question for Shelley, you can send it to shelley@fm99.com. It's Ask Shelley, and we do it every Monday at right around this time.
Nice.